Tonight's theme for this service is invisible illness. And this service was planned by a group of people, some of whom are not able to be here because of their illness, who either have lived or continue to live with a chronic illness. If I say words like disability or sick, I wonder what pops into your head. What images come to mind? I suspect for many of us it's someone with something obvious, perhaps a person in a wheelchair or someone who's lost their hair due to chemo treatment. But invisible chronic illness can be just that, invisible to the rest of the world. It might be something physical or mental or neurological, something that limits or challenges us and forces us to live in a way that's different to what the community expects as so-called normal. Such hidden illnesses we shall see affect all of our lives. And they can be accompanied by an enormous sense of shame or stigma. Things that silence us. Tonight we hope to change that. I'm delighted to welcome Fee McCrae, who's sitting back there and is known to many of you. She's going to be speaking with me later in this service, reflecting on the story of the bleeding woman in the Gospels from her own experience. Fee is the founder and host of Private Parts Community, an online community facilitating the private parts of our lives that seeks to challenge the idea we must keep certain things private. Private Parts, and you can follow them on Instagram, I'll have the details on the screen later, documents Fee's own experience of living with endometriosis and advocates for others who live with chronic illness. In 2022, she was the Darabin Citizen of the Year. So welcome, Fee. We're very excited you're here with us tonight. So to get into our theme, we're going to begin by hearing a gospel story. This is a story where Jesus encounters a woman, or more accurately, a woman encounters Jesus. She's a woman with a chronic condition. In many ways, it seems like a normal Bible healing story, but it's not. We're going to hear it first from Mark's Gospel, and then later in the service, we'll hear the version in Luke's Gospel. In Mark, the story begins with Jesus in Galilee, surrounded by a great crowd of people who are coming to him for healing. A woman, an unnamed woman, a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, a woman who has spent all of her money on doctors, but is worse than ever. This woman comes to Jesus and she seems to be alone. She nudges through the crowd and reaches out to touch the fringe of his garment. And when she does, her flow of blood immediately dries up. Jesus tells her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be well from your affliction." It's an intriguing story, this story of an unnamed woman. We don't know much about her except her affliction and the sparse details we get in Mark's Gospel. We can probably assume she's Jewish. Jesus is in Jewish territory, surrounded by a Jewish crowd. And so as a Jewish woman, bleeding has implications for her life, her religious life as well as her social life. Menstrual blood requires separation from others during the time of bleeding, and rituals of purification. If she was married, and we don't know if she was, she would be unable to be with her husband during these times. Perhaps she was unable to have children or unable to attend synagogue. In addition to the social limitations and the obvious physical weakness of such a condition, our gospel writer hints that she is poor. She spent all of her money, even if she was once wealthy. And she is alone. We have other healing stories where friends bring the sick person to Jesus, but she does not seem to have friends or family with her. Her medical condition has left her socially, financially, and physically impaired. This condition affects all of her life. One of the fascinating things about this story is that when she touches Jesus, her flow of blood ceases. And Mark uses a Greek word that literally means she dries up. But Jesus becomes leaky. Power flows out of his body like blood once flowed out of hers. He seems to have no control over it. He knows something has happened, but he asks who's touched him. Now, normally in a healing story, Jesus does the touching. He's in control. He imbues power or whatever it is over other people. But here she has grasped her agency and touched him. And Jesus has lost it. Now, it helps us to know a little bit about how people in the first century thought about gender and bodies to see how radical this story is. In the ancient world, ideal male bodies were hard and dry and firm and impenetrable. And female bodies were inferior because they were wet and soft and leaky and penetrable. The funny thing is, these two swap bodies in a sense. The woman becomes dry and well or saved, and Jesus' body becomes leaky. I brought an image tonight. It's on the screen, and you can also come have a look at this later if you'd like. This is a painting done by a Uniting Church minister called Wes Campbell on this story. One of the things I really like about it is the hand coming down is Jesus' hand. I mean, apart from the graphic skeletal kind of, it's pretty in your face, really. But the hand coming down of Jesus is bleeding. I think it captures really well this sense of Jesus' body literally empathizing with hers. He now has an uncontrolled flow. He bleeds. What does all this mean? Well, the author of this gospel loves reversals. For him, Jesus is a preacher who preaches about an upside-down kingdom, a world where the poor, the weak, the vulnerable have a special place for God, where the powerful and the wealthy are not privileged but are challenged, a world where Jesus responds particularly to those who are wounded in body, mind, and spirit. I think this dynamic becomes to its head, perhaps its peak, in the way that Mark describes Jesus' death on a cross. Yes, it's physically brutal, but in Mark's telling, Jesus doesn't just bear physical torture, but all his followers and friends abandon him. And he cries out in despair that God too has forsaken him. That is, Jesus has taken into his own dying body the full range of human suffering. When he's raised from the dead, it is not just God's divine no to such suffering, but a yes to life. There is a lot more we could say about this story, and we will keep reflecting on it. But I think it also leaves us with a question, a hard question for modern ears. What does it mean that she is saved? What does it mean to be made well from such an affliction? What does healing look like? I don't have a full answer to that, but I think there's a key in the fact that Jesus publicly, in front of this large pressing crowd, declares her both healed and a person of great faith. He calls her daughter, restoring her to the community. He witnesses to her activity, her faith, and brings what was perhaps once hidden and a source of shame into the public eye as a source of pride. In an ancient world where a lot of disease or disability was often thought to be the work of bad spirits or even punishment for sins, this is again quite remarkable. This woman is lauded and liberated. I want to name too that the church has a bit of a funny history with healing. In some Christian traditions, we pray for actual physical healing, and miracles seem to occur. These can be wonderful, and I don't want to discount them, but they also have a dark side. I've seen too many people told that if they're not healed, it's because their faith is not strong enough. Pray harder. It's an ultimate blame the victim move. So I ask again, when neither the best medical science or miracles change someone's circumstance, what does healing look like? What does liberation look like? What does it mean to be saved, and what are we being saved from? We'll pick up some of these themes in our conversation next. But let's sing again. I heard the voice of Jesus say.